Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Welcome to Rich Answers, a public affairs program of the Conference of Churches and a production of the 224 Ecospace, where changemakers work, create, and lead. Today we have with us Abdul Rahman Mohammed, and Abdul is the owner and executive director of My People Clinical Services, an agency dedicated to helping people succeed. Welcome.
Thank you. How are you today?
I think I'm doing pretty well, and I'm really excited to hear more about My People Clinical Services. Why don't you start out by telling us, what is My People Clinical Services all about?
Well, My People Clinical Services is an agency that I started about 9 years ago at my kitchen table. I wanted to be an entrepreneur. I had been working for different agencies here in the Hartford area, and I kept having a vision that there was a different way or a unique way that I could provide services to the community. And so, I would think about, like, what can I do to be able to start agency? And I mean, to be honest, it wasn't really an agency at the beginning. It was a program. We had one program. I had written my graduate thesis on fatherhood. Mm. And so at the time, nobody was doing anything with fatherhood. So what I did was I created a program called the Father to Father Program. And we had our, we used the curriculum called the 24/7 Dad Curriculum.
Great curriculum.
Yep. And then we also added case management. And so I would go to my different meetings that are going on in the city with my, you know, my paper brochure that I created on my computer. And I would give out my brochure. And slowly but surely, we started getting referrals for that program. But also at the meetings, what would happen is that people would say, you know, too bad you guys don't offer mentoring, because we really need some mentoring. Or they'll say, too bad you don't have a master's degree, because you know, we really need therapists. And I do have a master's degree. So I would say, oh, you need mentors? So the next time I go to a meeting, I'd have, you know, brochures for mentoring and my home-based therapeutic program. And so my people grew very quickly. I mean, from we started on March 5th, 9 years ago. So was it 2001, whatever. We started 9 years ago. And then within that first year, we went from me starting the agency to having about 100 staff working for us in our mentoring program, our home-based program. And we were just off to the races and running from there.
But we know that, without a doubt, you were raised in the context of a family with a father who was very active in human services. He's definitely somebody that's mentored a lot of people. Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about your father and what he's done in this community when it comes to services for people.
Yeah, my dad worked, his name's Abdul Rahman Mohammed as well. He worked at the Village for about 20-some-odd years. And he also taught at UConn and different places, very active.
A trailblazer as a social work person.
Very much so. And so by being, I always tell people that as a child, he had an organization, I mean, to this day, called Peace Associates. And when we were little, his brochure had all of our names in the brochure, and we had positions like vice president or whatever. So when you're 12 and you're the vice president of Peace Associates, it's nothing to be the president or executive director of your own thing, because you've been the vice president for 15 years already. So So he's always been a, you know, kind of ahead of his time, and very supportive to a lot of, like you said, a lot of social workers in this community. And I think that because of the fact that, you know, he's my father, I always say, like, I'm like the Kennedy of social work.
Right.
So, you know, by saying Abdul Rahman Muhammad, sometimes they thought he would be walking in the door,
right,
and then here I come.
This young guy.
Yeah. But, you know, because I always tell people, you know, your reputation is very important, because if he would have been had a bad reputation, there would have been a lot of doors that probably wouldn't have opened up for me to be able to do my people.
Well, I think back of my work when I worked for the Connecticut Department of Children and Families, and I was a young administrator, and he was someone that I met that was always supportive, mm-hmm, someone that always was an encourager, and someone that was always wise and, yeah, grounded. And I can recall when the village was going through their process of strategically thinking of their future, he was the person that came up with the name The Village. Mm-hmm. And that's something that many people don't say, but he was the one that brought that concept to the village,
right,
because at that time people were starting to talk about it takes a village to raise a child.
Right.
And so we know that that approach really does flow into your work, mm-hmm, at Clinical Services, at My People Clinical Services. And so you talked about when you first formed your business, you wanted to do things a different way. Talk a little bit about your philosophy of service and what makes you stand out. Mm-hmm.
Well, our mission is to enable my people to help your people so our people will succeed. And a lot of times what I believe happens is that we do these models and we have this way that we have to do services. And my belief in my people is that our end goal is to help people succeed. And so we may have to do something a little bit different, that's a little bit outside the box, that doesn't follow the model exactly, that supports them in such a way that helps them become successful when it's all said and done. And so I wanted to have that flexibility. I didn't want to operate inside of a model or inside of a box. I wanted to be able to put our own twist in it, our own culture into it, our own. And when I say culture, I'm talking about African-American, Latino, Caucasian, whatever your culture is, because we have a very diverse staff. But it's just that sometimes when you're having to do something a certain way every time and expecting a different result, you don't get the result you're looking for. And so The exciting thing about my people, I mean, just yesterday I was in our system looking at all the different programs that we've created over the last 9 years. And I had to, there was about 20 programs in there that we did. They might have been successful for a certain amount of time, but their time has passed.
Right.
And so we're able to always create something new. And it's based off our motto used to always be to say, okay, so where is the gap in service? So we would look at, you know, DCF and say, okay, they don't have enough mentors, or they don't have this. And so we would just kind of slide into that area and expose it and try to make something happen from it. And a lot of times, because of our work, we would get, like, somebody would bring something else to us. And so the great thing about my people is that, you know, I always feel like we're able to think outside the box and come up with a solution that's going to be in the best interest of the family, best interest of the child, and them being successful when we're no longer around. Because that's the other thing, is that our ultimate goal is to make it where a family completes their services with DCF, completes their service with us, and they're in a better place for their future. You know, they don't ever have to be involved with either again unless they want to.
And that would be powerful, that they never have to see anyone else again but,
right,
their own family.
Exactly.
So for those who are listening, they may not have a real sense of what it means for a family to be referred to you. So think for a moment about a case, a family that was sent your way by DCF, mm-hmm, and what kind of services did you provide for them? Why did they need you, and how did you help them succeed?
Well, I mean, we have all types of cases. One case that pops into my mind, we're currently working with this family right now, and I had gone to a meeting where it was basically like a review of the case. And in the meeting, and I don't even know why I was there, to be honest with you, because typically I don't go to that meeting. But that day I was there, and the mother was crying, and she was just saying she wasn't getting all the support she needed. And I think she had like 5 or 6 children, and they were all in DCF care, and she was trying to get them back. And so, you know, at My People, we have our supervised visitation program. We have home-based therapeutic services. We have our mother-to-mother program. And so what I suggested in the meeting, that why not, instead of having this mother who has all these children, no transportation, go into this agency and that agency and that agency, where she has to get there on a bus, why not send her all to us, and we'll go in the home and we'll do this, and we'll go in the home and do this, and this service will be done in the community with our support. And so we've been working with this family now for probably like 6 months, and the children have been returned home. And now we're working on the process of getting out. So it's like, because of our ultimate plan, we can't stay in it forever. At some point, she has to be able to do all the things that are needed to be able to provide for her children and care for her. So that's a case where, you know, you have success. Now, every case we get, it's not like we always walk out and we say, hey, we did a great job once again, because I can give you another case where we thought we had prepared. We have a supportive housing program. So we had a young man. He was a very high achiever, graduated from high school, saved up a bunch of money, got his driver's license, got a car. And then he transitioned out of our program. Within 2 months, he was in jail.
Oh, no.
And so, but now there's a good part about it, because we knew he was in jail, because in that 2 months we stayed in contact with him, right? But the sad part about it was that he just wasn't really ready, you know, because some of the young men that we work with, you know, their mental health is to the point where they're easily taken advantage of in our community. They get with the wrong group of people. Before you know it, all the things that they were doing before they came to us or they had gotten them in trouble in the past, they're doing that kind of stuff again. And so imagine a year of success, or like continuous building up, and in 2 months you're drug binging, you're back on the streets, you're in jail.
Well, there is truth in it taking a village to raise a child, and also the reality that when children don't have parents, people to stand with them, mm-hmm. it's really hard. Social yes. workers are not parents.
They're not.
And it does make a difference in the life of young people to have that meaningful adult that stays there with them. Mm-hmm. We're talking to Abdul Rahman Muhammad about My People Clinical Services, and we'll be back after the break.
There's no because they want more pay. Buses on strike want a raise in fare so they can help pollute the air. But then what makes the world go round? The ups and downs of carousel. Changing people sails around. Go underground, young man. People make the world go round.
Who said that?
Me, down here.
What are you, a yellow booger?
I'm a banana slug, Steven.
Well, what are you doing in my room?
I'm your sense of adventure. Don't you remember me? Don't you know that we miss you?
Miss me? Who misses me?
You know, all your friends in the forest. The trees, the pond, that little fort that you made out of branches. We all miss you.
Mom took me to the forest last year.
I'm a slug, Steven. It took me a long time to get here.
Oh, I guess that makes sense.
The forest is not that far away. Have an adventure today. I'm sure your mom would take you.
You're right. I should get out. I want to have fun. Play in puddles, catch frogs, and climb trees. Hey, Mom!
Yeah, hon?
Steven! What is that in your hand?
It's my sense of adventure, Mom. It's telling me we need to get out of the house and have some fun in nature today.
Come to the forest where the more adventurous you lives. Check out discovertheforest.org for cool places nearby. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
And welcome back. We're talking with Abdulrahman Mohammed about his work at My People Clinical Services and his effort to transform the lives of people who are struggling. A lot of people don't understand what DCF really does. We hear of child abuse cases, but very often many of the people that see you, their families with service needs. Talk about some of the people that you help, and it's not just a child abuse case.
Oh, yeah. So the majority of DCF referrals actually come from the school. And so it's child abuse is not, I wouldn't say it's high up. I would say more than anything is it's support. It's you may have some individuals or families that have mental health issues, which is causing some of the other issues that are occurring in the home. But the biggest thing is, you know, through our mentoring services. So this is just basically saying maybe you have a child who comes from a single mother home or a child who's an adolescent female who's going through a unique phase of her life. And she needs an additional adult mentor to be able to help her through that phase. Or the young boy needs a male mentor to help him go through that phase of life. A lot of our services that we've created are based on these. So you say father to father. We created father to father because we know that there are tons of non-custodial fathers out there, right? Who need support on, well, what does it mean to be a good father, right? So like
hard if you didn't have a good father.
It's hard if you had a great father. Like my father was involved in my life all the time. And I say, you know, well, what does it mean to be a good father? Because it's really essential. Like what are the things that children need that are going to make them successful in their lives? This is something I ask myself, and I consider myself an involved father. So think about a father, like you said, if you've never had a father involved in your life, you don't have any role model, no example of it. Maybe you watched The Cosby Show a couple of times, and that's your ideal of a father. It's very difficult. Through our program, they're able to come in there. They're able to sit down with fathers that are married, fathers that are working, fathers that are not married, fathers that just got out of jail, and kind of find themselves in all of them. And so in each group, you're able to learn something that maybe you can put in your toolkit you didn't have from before. And in each individual session, you're able to kind of expand on that and also build up something. You know, fatherhood is one thing, but if you're being a great father and not working doesn't make your self-esteem feel good, right? You have to be able to provide for your children. So what we try to do for the fathers is give them all those little tools that they need to make them feel, you know, like a father, but also like a man. You know, a lot of times I always say this to people that, you know, being a father means that you're a man who has had a child. But at the core of fatherhood is being a man. And so if you take a man and he doesn't have any of those, you know, things that make you feel manly, you know, your own house, a car, the ability to pay your bills, then what kind of father are you going to be? You know, if you're a man that can't go in and say, well, I want to provide this for my children. This is my progeny, and I want to make sure that they're going to be okay. So I always say that, you know, a lot of times we're working on parenting skills, but in actuality, you got to work on man skills.
Right.
So that these young men who haven't had a role model that have no concept. Imagine a man having a child and not having a concept of what being a father is.
Right.
And the other thing is that, you know, you have sons and you have daughters, right? And so a father may say, well, I have a son and I'm gonna raise him tough. I'm gonna punch him in the arm and he's gonna be a tough guy. Well, what if you don't have a son? What if you have a daughter? Are you going to punch her in the arm too?
It's not the same thing.
It's not the same thing. I stuck my tongue out at my daughter the other day and she ran upstairs crying. Oh. And I was scratching my head like, what did I, you know, I was fooling around with her. But and sometimes, you know, you might have a son that doesn't respond the same way you did. Every child is unique. Every child is different. And so as fathers, we have to build up this tool bag of skills, of ideas, of ways to interact, you know, so that you are able to be the best father you can possibly be. And another thing is that children change every day. They go through these phases of life. I have a 19-year-old, I have an 8-year-old, I have a 7-year-old. Each one of them, totally different. My 19-year-old called me yesterday. She's coming up here from college next week. Hey, why don't you send me about $100 so that I can get a few things before I come up there?
Okay. Now,
and in my mind, I go, who paid for your ticket? Who's going to give you a job this summer? She's not thinking about that. She want to buy some, I don't know what she's going to do.
She just wants some money.
She's going to blow that money on something. And so, but as a father, what I did was I missed the phone call. I didn't call her back because I would have asked her all those questions and she would come up here next week and with an attitude because I probably may not send her the $100, right? So now if I call her back today, I may decide, okay, I'm going to send her $50. There's a compromise. So you can get half the stuff you wanted to get.
Because you're just going to blow my money.
I know. And so, but at the end of the day, it's like the great thing about fatherhood that I always try to remind people, and I literally was just talking to somebody about this on the phone before I walked in, is that fatherhood is not from the time that the baby is born to the time that they're like 12. Fatherhood is a lifelong thing. You know, as men, as fathers, we go through phases too. And if you're lucky enough, you get to the point where your children are taking care of you a little bit. But if you're not involved, if you're not there for them, when you get to those older years, you're sitting there in a home or somewhere and nobody's coming to see you.
And that's tragic.
It hurts. It hurts.
And you'll have to reflect on that in your own life.
Got
to
live with it.
So when you look at the services that My People Clinical Services provides here in the greater Hartford area, what seem to be the most critical services you're providing right now in this season?
Right now, I think that our most important service, right? I want to say most important, but our service that is the future of the agency in a lot of ways, is our supportive housing program.
And what's that all about?
So basically what we have is a variety of programs where young men and women who are involved with DCF and DEMIS aren't ready to live on their own. I believe it's a model where when I first started coming up with a model, it was kind of like I pitched it as a dorm, right? So we have, you know, DCF has a program called CHAP. And CHAP is a community housing apartment program where a young person graduates from high school and then they go to a college and DCF pays for them to have an apartment. So we were doing CHAP all this time and we were seeing that the kids weren't really being successful. You know, 7% of them were graduating from college. They were basically going into the program. They weren't prepared for it. They were filling out. They weren't taking care of their apartments. It was just all this stuff. So I started saying to DCF that really what they need is support. They need an apartment, yes. But they need somebody there more than 3 hours a week to be able to say, hey, you might want to clean this up. Hey, that bill that just came in the mail, you actually have to pay that bill.
Or you won't have electricity.
You ain't gonna have no lights. And then also they need somebody to be able to say, you have to go to class today. Get up and go to class. Hey, you need help with that homework? I'm here. I'll help you out with that homework. So they can get through that first semester, just like all of us. You know, that second semester of college is not that easy.
Because there's so much socialization that can happen in those initial years.
And so our supportive housing program is, it's not exactly what I started with, but basically what we're able to do is help those young people. They have their places, but they're staffed there 24 hours a day to be able to give them support, to be able to help them out, to be able to engage with them and interact with them. And then the next phase, it's like we keep stepping them down. So they go from 24 hours to our 16-hour program, and then from our 16-hour program, on their own, out in the world. So. And that all occurs over about an 18-month period where they're pretty, I think they have more time to be prepared and be stronger and be successful when they're on their own.
And so when you think about your start with your organization, My People Clinical Services, and where you are today, what are some of the lessons that you've learned to get your business to where it is now?
Well, that's a good question. Well, I think one of the biggest things that I've learned is that you have to maintain relationships. You know, a lot of times people think business is about who has the best report or the best whatever. And really, it's about who you know. You know, it's like, how can you get people to believe your service, you know, is the service of choice? You have to stay in the game. Like, I mean, over the last year, I would say I focused so heavily on supportive housing. Other areas of the of our business may have not aren't getting enough light. And that's, you know, all about relationships. And so what I have to do is rehash those relationships, call people up, attend some meetings, all that kind of stuff. And so I think that was one of the first lessons. The other thing I learned is that a lot of times when there's a problem, people always think that it's somebody at the top that's preventing them from doing something or holding them back. And what I've learned is that a lot of times it's somebody at the bottom that has very little power in the realm of what you think power is that is actually holding you back. Because the person at the top may not even know about you. The person on the bottom is the one that's saying, you know, that's dealing with you day to day or whatever, and they have the ability to stop you just as much as the person at the top. So power is all relative. You know, titles don't really mean as much as you think they do when somebody else could say, oh, I never got that memo. You know, so
it is all about relationships. Yes. We're talking with Abdulrahman Mohammed, who is the executive director of My People Clinical Services, and we'll be back after the break. You have been listening to Rich Answers, a public affairs program of the Conference of Churches.
My name is Dale Pazinski. I'm 19 years old, and this is how I live United. I've always been kind of a computer geek, and I found a way to use those skills to help the homeless in my community. For people facing hard times, computer skills and a basic resume are so important. It may seem like a small thing, but it makes a huge difference in people's lives. So with United Way, I created a program where I work with the homeless. Together, we go through their whole job history, write a resume, and then save it on their very own USB drive. We provide workbooks and training certificates. I even budgeted for cupcakes so we can celebrate as a class when one of our people gets a job. That's huge. When somebody says, hey man, that job that you helped me apply for, I got it. That's what living United feels like to me. My name is Dale Pazinski. I help people achieve financial independence. So I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer, live United. Go to liveunited.org, brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Tried him for myself, and I, oh, I'm that God will take the pain away.
You'll take the pain away.
Come on and believe.
You'll take. Lord, I want more. More of you, less of me, Lord.
Lord, I receive. 30,000 square feet. What would you do with that kind of possibility? Would you strategize your future? Or get lost in the past? Will you fill it with stories? Or use it to empty your mind? Would you explore your spirituality? Or focus on improving your community? Will you use it to work late? Or just work it? Could you create lasting impressions? Or a brief, delicious one? Our vision for the 224? 30,000 square feet of endless possibilities.
And welcome back. We're talking with Abdulrahman Mohammed, who is the executive director at My People Clinical Services, an agency that's dedicated to helping people succeed. So right now you're in a phase where you have some wonderful initiatives that are coming up. Tell us about the father-daughter dance that's happening.
Okay, so for the last 10 years, we've done our Father's Day brunch. Over the last few months, I've been seeing on Facebook that the other places around the country are doing this father-daughter dance. And I said, you know, one of the things that we thought about going forward is that we want to do more community stuff, stuff that doesn't have anything to do with DCF or DEMIS or contract or money. We're going to charge money, but it's not necessarily the goal is for us to make a bunch of money. It's about being involved in our community. So we said, you know, why don't we do a father-daughter dance? I think it would be a great initiative. I have two daughters. I would love to go out and dance with them. And I think it's a wonderful way for men and their daughters to get close. You know, even if it's for a night, it'd mm-hmm. be great. And so we're getting ready for our father-daughter dance. Even before that, we have our mother-daughter.
Let me just stay on father-daughter dance
you know,
for a moment. Because I'm excited about father-daughter
yes.
dance. So the father-daughter dance is when?
The father-daughter dance is June 13th. That's a Friday, June 13th from 7 to 10 p.m. at the Riverfront Boathouse here in Hartford, Connecticut.
And if people want to be able to get tickets for that, how do they do it?
If they want to get tickets, they can come by My People at 111 Gillette Street. They can also go on our website, www.mypeople-ct.com, our Facebook page. For the father-daughter dance, just put in father-daughter dance, and that should be, you know, you can find it on there. But come by My People. We would love to see you. That's the best place, 111 Gillette Street.
So it would be a great opportunity for fathers and daughters to get together, to go and have a wonderful evening together, dancing and being close. And
We got a performance from Brittany Crush that night. We got some good food from Miles Catering that night. And so... And most importantly, yes, we're gonna have photographers there, videographers there. It should be a night to remember, and hopefully we'll be able to get a jump start where next year even more people are looking forward to this dance. So you should come out. We only have 100 tickets left.
All right. And so this would be a great opportunity for fathers and daughters to do something different. I know for so many fathers, they wonder, what activities can I do with my daughter? I can't take her to a game.
Nope.
And I don't want to go to the mall with her. So this is a great evening
yes.
out for a father with a daughter. But earlier than that, you have another form that's coming up, a mother-daughter form. Talk about that.
Yeah, so we have the mother-daughter workshop is going to be here at the Conference of Churches.
At the 224,
right. And so basically what we've seen is that sometimes when young ladies get to that 13, 15 age, the communication with their mom gets a little bit stressed, we'll say. And so what we're looking to do is have an opportunity to find a way for mothers and daughters to communicate with each other better. And so here at the 224 on May 31st, we'll have that workshop, and I believe that one should also be a humdinger.
And for many mothers and daughters, they are trying to find a way to get a breakthrough. Maybe they don't want to go into therapy, but this is just a chance to be a part of a seminar where they can talk about the challenges of this relationship.
Yes.
As daughter is starting to spread her wings and mom is trying to still maintain some leadership.
Yes.
So it'll be a great opportunity. Who's going to be speaking or leading that seminar?
Well, my wife, Deshaun Muhammad, will be in the forefront, but there's a team of women who also work with our Female Empowerment Conference that will be here. So I'm sure that, you know, some of our therapists will be here as support, but also just people that from the community that are vested in this population of young girls to make sure that they succeed and they're at their best.
And once again, that's going to be May 31st here at the 224. And you can find out more about it by looking at the website for My People Clinical Services and checking them out also on Facebook. Mm-hmm. And finally, you have the Father's Day brunch. Talk about that.
Yeah. So this year is our 10th annual Father's Day brunch. The Father's Day brunch, we did it our first year we started. So we had our Father to Father program that first year. Actually, we did a cookout. The fathers that were in the program at the time, we all went out to Wickham Park. And it was like a potluck. And so we did the cookout for about 5 years. And then we said, it's hot and we want to go inside. So we started doing taste buds. And so for the last 5 years or so, we've done taste buds. And so this year we'll be at Taste Buds in East Hartford, 10 a.m. On Father's Day. And it's usually, you know, a good time. And that's free.
And that'll be a great fellowship for families to come together.
And please RSVP if you're going to come, because we don't want a whole bunch of people.
There you go. So every little bit helps. So I like to talk to transformational leaders about the future of their organization and what they want to see happening in the community. So as you look down the road, what is one of your big, hairy, audacious goals where if you achieve this for My People Clinical Services, you'll feel that you've done well as a leader? Big, hairy, audacious goal that you'd like to see happen?
Well, you know, one of the things we're working on right now is developing a nonprofit called Dreams in Power. And our plan for Dreams in Power is to take some of our community initiatives and rather than having them under My People, having them under Dreams in Power. So after we do the workshop and the Father's Day brunch and the dance. In the fall, we have our Female Empowerment Conference. And this will be our fourth year with the Female Empowerment Conference. And so that's one of the things that we want to put under Dreams in Power. And, you know, we have a few other things. We didn't get a chance to talk about the Dream Support Network.
But we're going to have you back.
We'll come back another time for that. But so there's a variety of things that we do that ultimately what we want to be able to do is associate My People with Dreams in Power, and we want to make our community a community that believes that anything is possible and that they can make their dreams become reality and that they can never stop dreaming and everybody feels successful and happy and all those good things. So we want to just be a part of anything that we want to be not just a part, we want to lead the way in showing people that, you know, you can take something that starts at a kitchen table and then you can turn it into something that is absolutely wonderful if you put in the time and the work and the dedication and you get the right team with you. So
we're talking to Abdul Rahman Muhammad, who is the owner and executive director at My People Clinical Services. We want to thank you for what you're doing in Hartford and beyond.
Thank you.
This is Nnamdi Asamoah. I play football for the Philadelphia Eagles, but what I do off the field with United Way might be more important. I'm a volunteer tutor and mentor. Why? Because over a million kids a year drop out of school, and that's not okay. It takes 12 years to create a graduate, but it takes about the same time to create a dropout. And the difference between a child becoming one or the other could be me, or it could be you. Studies show that if we get to these kids earlier, their chances are better, and kids who read well by third grade are more likely to graduate. So join me in United Way. Suit up and take the pledge. Become a volunteer reader, tutor, or mentor. Because when a child succeeds, we all succeed. Give. Advocate. Volunteer. Live United. Take the pledge at unitedway.org. Brought to you by United Way, the Ad Council, and the National Football League.
You have been listening to Rich Answers, a public affairs program of the Conference of Churches and a production of the 224 Ecospace. Reach out to us and tell us what you think. Look for Rich Answers, the Conference of Churches, and me, Reverend Dr. Shelley Bess, on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Like us, follow us, share us.